Welcome to Knowing God in the Word. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This is a brand new radio program for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. As today is our first program, Nathan will be teaching on the importance of knowing God and how it is that we can know Him. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob.
Hi, my name is Nathan Johnson, and I am a Bible student, and I've been a Bible student for 25 years, and I'm also a Bible teacher. And I'm going to be teaching you through the Knowing God in the Word radio program. Now, it is my conviction that this is really what studying the Bible is about, is that it's about getting to know God. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is knowing God. Now, we all speak of knowing God when it comes to salvation. And when we enter into a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, we say, from then on, I know God. I know God through Jesus Christ. Well, that is important. That's incredibly important that we do know God through salvation and saving faith in Jesus Christ. However, I believe that salvation is a lot like just meeting God and shaking His hand and saying, hi, good to meet you, good to know you. But that there has to be a whole lot more than that. There has to be getting to really know God on a deeper level. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about knowing God today. Now, I believe that knowing God is really the zenith, it's the high point of biblical revelation. For example, if we consider the Apostle Paul, I believe that his personal desire, the deepest desire of his heart, was to get to know Jesus Christ. And we can see that in his words in Philippians chapter 3, and starting in verse 7, where he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul here expresses, like I said, I believe it was his most and deepest heartfelt desire to get to know Christ. And for the sake of this, he says that all those things that were gained to him, that were gained to him before, he's willing to give all these up, to count them all as loss for the sake of getting to know Christ. And then in verse 10, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, I actually want to know his resurrection power. Now, those of us who study the Bible, we maybe realize that not everyone, according to the Bible, is going to have to die. That those people who are alive when the resurrection takes place, that they won't have to die in order to be resurrected, but they will just instantaneously be transferred into their resurrection body, without having to go through the death process in between. Maybe a lot of us have thought about that and thought, wow, that would be great if that happened in my lifetime so I wouldn't have to die. But notice here that Paul's attitude doesn't seem to be that way. He says, I actually want to get to know the power of his resurrection. He actually seems to want to die so that he can be resurrected and know Christ's resurrection power. And not only that, but he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. He says, I want to fellowship with him by suffering. Now, we as believers will talk a lot about fellowship. In fact, we talk about what we want in our churches to have fun food and fellowship, which means we want to get together with other believers. We want to have good times. We want to eat good food. And we want to socialize, talk with each other, have fun, food, and fellowship. Well, Paul here talks about fellowship, but he talks about a very different kind of fellowship. He says, I actually want to fellowship with Christ by suffering like he did. I want to get to know him better by suffering. And of course, Christ suffered because of persecution. He says, I want to suffer persecution like Christ did so I can have closer fellowship with him. Now imagine that. Paul wants to know Jesus Christ so much that he's willing to give up everything that's gained to him. He actually wants to die so he can experience the power of his resurrection. And he actually wants to suffer so that he can fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. And that's how much he wants to get to know Jesus Christ. Now, this is not only Paul's deepest heartfelt desire for himself, but it's also his dearest prayer for believers, is for them to get to know Christ. We can read that in a couple places. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 1. And starting in verse 15, he says, Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So he says, I mention you new believers in my prayers. And what does he say in his prayers? Well, verse 17, he says, That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he says, What I pray for you new believers, since I first heard about you, is that I pray that God would give you a spirit, a mind that's full of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he says, I want you to know God. I want you to know Jesus Christ. I want you to be full of the knowledge of them. Paul says the same thing regarding his prayers for the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 9, he says, For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And we can all understand that as believers, we all want to know what's God's will for me. What does he want for my life? He says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Then he says in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And walk here stands for your lifestyle. He says, I want you to know his will so you can live a lifestyle that's worthy of this Lord you serve. Then he says, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. But then notice what he says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice that he wants these Colossian believers to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, like I said, a lot of believers, and maybe our terminology leads us to think this, we speak of getting to be saved as getting to know God. That if you're saved, you know God. And we act almost like it's a done deal. Like when you're saved, it's all over. You know God. Now you just have to go out and get other people to know him too. But Paul here, in his prayer for these Colossian believers, he prays, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God. And I ask God, I pray to God that that might happen, that you would increase in knowing him. Not just that initial meeting him, the handshake, hi, good to meet you, but actually getting to know him on a deeper level. Now, Paul reveals not only is this his personal desire and his desire for believers, but I think he and the rest of the Bible also reveals that this is God's goal for all humankind. Romans 1 verse 28, first of all, Paul tells us that this is the problem with humankind in the first place. He says, And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. So he says, The problem with Adam's race, Adamkind, is that they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They just don't want to know God. And that's the problem. The Bible reveals that getting to know God is actually the goal of the new covenant. We've all probably known and heard about the new covenant. I don't know how much we know about it. But the Bible actually reveals that that's the goal of it, to know God. In Jeremiah chapter 31 is where the new covenant is set forth. And verse 34 tells us what the goal of the new covenant is. When it says this, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." So God says here that the goal of his new covenant is that no longer would anyone have to do what I'm doing right now, teaching other people and encouraging other people to know the Lord. He says the goal of the new covenant is everyone, every neighbor of yours, every acquaintance, every person you meet when you're walking down the street, from the least important person to the most important, from the highest ruler to the lowest peasant, that everyone will know the Lord. That's God's goal. And we can see the result of it in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9, where he says this, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." Oh, what a blessing that would be to end all this violence on earth. But then he says this, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." So what will end violence on the earth? Well, he says the earth being full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's God's goal for this earth. Now this part about the waters covering the sea might be kind of confusing to us, because we say, well, the waters are the sea, so how could the waters cover the sea? Well, we need to understand that in the Hebrew mindset, they didn't just call the waters the sea, but they actually called the bowl that the water was in the sea. And we would call it the sea floor or the ocean bed. But they would call that the sea, just like the water. In fact, we read regarding God's temple in Jerusalem that they actually built a brazen sea, a bronze sea. And of course, they didn't build bronze water. What they built was a great big bronze bowl that held water, and it was called a sea. So the sea that he's talking about here is what we would call the ocean floor, the seabed. Now, how deeply do the waters cover the seabed? Imagine you were standing on the ocean floor. Everywhere you would look, if you look forward, in front of you or behind you, you look to your right, you'd look to your left, you'd look up, you'd look down. Everywhere you looked, you'd see water. And he says, just like that, just like the waters cover the sea, so the knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth someday. That's God's goal. So that everywhere you looked, you wouldn't find any crack, any crevice, any place deep in the jungle or high up in the mountains where the knowledge of the Lord hasn't reached. Everywhere the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Now, this is not only God's ultimate goal for the earth, but I believe it should be every person's true boast. Jeremiah chapter 9 reveals this, where in verse 23 it says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty glory in his might, nor let the rich glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." So the Lord talks about what you glory in here, and what you glory in is what you truly value about yourself. What do you think is most significant and most important about yourself? And so the Lord says here, let nobody glory in his riches or in his mighty power or in his great wisdom, but let everyone who glories, let everyone who boasts, boast in the fact that he knows and understands God. And that should be every person's true boast. Now, I believe that that is the highest goal you can ever set for yourself. That is the greatest height you can try to attain to. That's the greatest thing you could ever do in your life, is to get to know God. Now, the reality is that there are many things in the religious world that distract us from knowing God. Now, when we first get to become believers in Jesus Christ, I think we want to know right away, well, now that I know God, now that I believe in Jesus Christ, well, what do I do next? What's expected? What's required of me as a believer in Christ? And what we usually do is we look to older and we consider more mature, more accomplished believers to tell us that. Now, they'll impress many things in us, like you need to start going to a good church. You need to perform some rituals like water baptism or getting to know the confession of faith of the church and agreeing to it. You need to start putting money into the offering plate. You need to start getting involved in ministries to care for the poor or to counsel people who are in trouble. You need to join the church bowling league or sing in the choir. But in all these things that are thrown at the new believer, when is it ever impressed upon the new believer that he needs to get to know God? Well, that seldom happens. But the reality is that according to the Bible, this is the greatest goal that anyone, new believer or old, could have, is to get to know God. And I believe that the only way to really get to know God is through His Word. The fact is that God is not on earth today walking around for us to hang out in His presence in order to get to know Him. So we can't get to know Him that way. But what He's given us to get to know Him is the Bible. And He's expressed Himself through the pages of the Bible, through the things written there. Now, I think that everyone who truly values the Bible as part of his Christianity, whether that's been impressed on him by his church or whatever the case might be, that we all know and realize that we should read and study our Bibles more. But the fact is that there are lots of things that we should do. For example, we should lose weight. We should exercise more. We should work on old friendships that we've let slip. We should spend more time with our kids or with our family. We should get back into old hobbies that we haven't done in a long time. We should work on some of those projects around the house that we keep procrastinating on. And after we've done all these things, we should get more sleep at night. But the fact is that we're seldom motivated by those things we should do. They usually get shoved aside by the things that we put a high priority on, or the things that seem more pressing, like fixing a broken faucet. But I believe that the fact is when we cease to be motivated to study the Bible just by the fact that we should do it, but that when we're actually motivated to Bible study by a desire to be in a relationship with the most wonderful being in the universe, well, then what we should do becomes what we would want to do. And the fact is that that's God. He is the most glorious, the most wonderful, the most amazing being in the universe. He is the one who made everything. And He is the source of everything and the goal of everything. And He is the most wonderful being you could ever imagine, or ever could get to know. And when we catch that vision, when we see that possibility that I could get to know and have a loving relationship with God, well, I think that will completely reframe Bible study. Now, I believe that the ultimate goal for any individual is and should be for us to truly love and be in love with God. I don't think, when it comes right down to it, if you ask just about any believer in Jesus Christ, do you love God? I think we'd all say, yes, I love God. I love Jesus. Well, that's easy to say. But I wonder if it really looks like it when we look at our lives and what we spend time on and what's our priority. I think when it comes right down to it, I don't know that we're lying there, but I think what we really generally mean when we say I love God is that we love having a God. The fact is that having a God is very convenient. If you don't have a God, well, you don't really have a purpose for living. If you don't have a God, what's your life all about? You just get older, your body breaks down more and more, eventually you die. And then everybody you knew and everybody whose lives you touched, they die too. And so what was the use of it all? What really came out of your life? What really came out of everything you did? Nothing. And so it really leads to despair not having a God. But when you have a God, you have a point, you have a purpose. You realize there's ultimately a reason for everything and a reason for your own life. And that's very good. But then having a God whom you believe is good, whom you believe is watching over you, who is with you in life, who is on your side. Well, that's very nice. That's very convenient. That's good to have. So it's easy to see why anyone would love having a God. But I'm not talking about loving having a God. I'm talking about, do we love the God that we have? And I don't think we can possibly love the God that we have until we get to know him. Now you might ask, how do I get to fall in love with God? And that's a hard question. Because like I said, unlike the days when Christ walked the earth, God isn't on the earth walking around right now, so you could get to know him by hanging out with him that way. And it's not really easy to answer. How do I get to fall in love with God? For those of you who are married, who have a spouse whom you love, if I would ask you, well, what were the steps you followed in order to fall in love with your spouse? What's the method? Well, give me 10 steps I can do to fall in love with someone. Well, I doubt you'd be able to do it. There really are no steps for falling in love. There's no method to follow to do it. But I think there are things that help. For example, if you want to fall in love with a person, you need to spend time with that person. You don't just need to spend time with other people who know the person, or read things about the person, or collect stories about the person. No, you need to spend time with the person that you want to fall in love with. You need to spend personal time together. Now, you need to see that person in a lot of different situations. You need to see them when they go through hard times. You need to see them when they're frustrated. You need to see them when they're excited or encouraged. You need to see them through different seasons of life, through different experiences, and you can see how they respond. And that way you start to get to see the person's character. You get to start to see what they're like deep down inside. And as you get to respect that person for the character the person displays, well, then you can start to fall in love with that person because of your respect. It's not just being attracted to the person outwardly, but you're attracted to the person inwardly, what the person's really like. And the fact is that that's what we need to do with God. We need to get to know God. We need to know what he's like. We need to know what his personality is. We need to know what his attributes are. And I believe, like I said, when we see those attributes, when we get to understand and know that personality, we'll see that God is the most amazing being in the universe, and that really getting to know him is the greatest person of all to get to know, greater than getting to know your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, anybody. Nobody's greater than God. Nobody's more wonderful than God. And so to get to know him really is the ultimate goal you could possibly have. So I believe with all my heart that to get to know God and to be in a loving relationship with him is the greatest experience a person can have in life. And I also believe that it is literally what we were made for. And I believe that the way that we form such a relationship is through God's Word, the Bible, and getting to know him through that. So let's study the Bible, and let's get to know the greatest person of all. We'll close the book at that point. But if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, and you'd like to learn more, and you'd like help getting to know God through the careful study of his word, the Bible, feel free to write to me. Email nathan@knowinggodandtheword.org. You can ask me questions or ask to be put on my mailing list, wherein I send out weekly Bible studies attempting to get to know God through His Word, just like on this radio program. You can also write to me through postal mail. Nathan at Knowing God in the Word, P.O. Box 461, Prior Lake, Minnesota, 55372. You will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, although your donations are always appreciated. So feel free to contact us. Thank you.
To know God, increasing our knowledge of Him, falling deeper in love with Him. All this through the study of His Word. What a privilege it is for us to be able to come to the Word of God in order to know God. Thank you, Nathan, for your deep insights on the subject of knowing God. We hope you can join us on our next program when Nathan will be teaching on the glory of believing. He will be discussing what it is we are to be busy doing to please God and why faith is so important to God. For more information on this program, we invite you to visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.